Today, we are marking our first full year as an independent congregation. I don't know if it seems longer or shorter for you, but this is our first full year as an independent congregation. If you're unfamiliar with our story, I can't imagine a better way to sum it up than for you to take a look at this.
Shot of our story. In 1953, Christ United Methodist Church was formed. The first worship service was held in the old Pontiac School basement on November 18, 1953, and began with 53 charter members. In 1965, the church constructed a permanent building on Lincoln Highway. In 1994, the church voted to relocate and purchase 12 acres of land where the facility currently sits. In 1996, construction was complete and the church moved to its current location on what is now Frank Scott Parkway. In 1997, the average Sunday worship attendance was 210 people. Over the next 10 years, Christ Church grew by 10% a year and added an education building, gymnasium, and sanctuary that seats 1,100 people. Between 2010 and 2020, Christ Church renovated the chapel, added a bookstore and cafe, renovated the student lounge, added a three-floor children's wing, and planted campuses in Collinsville, Millstock, outside of Scott Air Force Base, and launched a vibrant Church Online campus. In 2018, Christ Church was recognized as being one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the United States by Outreach Magazine. In 2021, Christ Church disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church and became an independent congregation. What type of kingdom impact has Christ Church made over the last 25 years? Thousands of people have given their lives to Jesus Christ, and 1,500 people have joined the church by profession of faith. Christ Church has also celebrated over 1,200 first-time baptisms. We have reached out to our community by partnering with local nonprofits and donating thousands of backpacks to the Christian Activity Center, as well as tens of thousands of non-perishable items to local food banks. Christ Church continues to reach people in Honduras and the Philippines through mission trips, evangelistic campaigns, health clinics, scholarships, and much more. Connecting people with Jesus Christ, down the hall, around the corner, and around the world. Today our stories are coming together. We can't wait to see how God is going to use you at Christ Church.
Yeah, praise God. We have determined to annually celebrate 2021 as the year Christ Church became an independent congregation. My task today certainly is to lead us and ground us in remembering our past, but really what I'm doing today is I want to look into our future. I want to just ask God to speak to us as we consider the future of this congregation. A couple of weeks back, I felt compelled to share a devotion from Philippians 2 with your church staff. And as I was praying about what to do today, I just had that passage on my mind so heavily, and possibly heavenly as well. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and let's just pray God would speak to us. Almighty God, would you speak your wonderful words of life to us today? Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Philippi was the provincial capital of Greek Macedonia, and Paul planted a church there on his second missionary journey in 49 AD. It's now a decade and some change later. Paul writes from a prison cell in Rome. He will soon be sentenced to death by a Roman tribunal. He writes to offer the church at Philippi, which he dearly loves, some fresh words from the Lord. And I thought that on this day, we could use some fresh words from the Lord. So if you're taking notes, got six things for you, and let's jump in at it. Word number one, get back to basics. Verse 12, following my instructions puts into motion God's saving work in your lives. Work out your salvation with deep reverence and fear. So the first thing I just want to talk to you about is anytime we move forward, the first thing we need to do is just get back to the basics of who we are and what we are as a church. You know, we are founded on some strong Wesleyan theology. I believe that the roots that we have continued to carry on from our past are strong and they are sound. And I believe that we've got some great theology. The other thing is, as you move forward, I think about baseball and I think about spring training. Spring training is an opportunity for players just to get back to the basics of the game. To work on things you don't really think about, like hitting your cutoff man and a pitcher's covering first if the ball is hit toward the first baseman. There's a lot of little things that are absolutely essential that go into winning. And so one of the things I just pray is that God would be with us as we get back to the basics of our faith, because I believe strength comes from that core. Word number two, work out your salvation. The Greek verb translated workout means to bring something to completion. If I could quote a famous baseball player, Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. You know, we are all in the process of our human lives, but we are working out our salvation. You know, getting saved isn't just saying a prayer at some point in your life and then just waiting for God to beam you up. We believe that salvation is something that we enter into by inviting Christ into our heart, but it initiates a life of Christian living. And we are so committed here to that process of working out our salvation. What does that look like? How do we live together? How do we grow in our faith? Those are good questions for a church to ask. Word number three, be transformed. Verse 13, for God is giving you a desire to obey him and the power to please him. I want to be very clear about this. Try harder is the opposite of the gospel. The gospel does not give us the strength to try harder. The gospel completely transforms us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are not 33% better. We're not 89% better. We are born again. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We need to stop trying harder and allow God to completely transform our minds, completely transform our spirits. We need to allow God's work to be done in us. And I love this. It says, he gives us a desire to obey him and the power to please him. So often we just kind of fight ourselves all the time. It's Sunday morning and we're tired and we're not sure we're going to get to church and we have that argument with ourselves. You know, we need to stop praying for the strength to go to church, and we need to start praying that God would transform us and give us a desire to obey him. Have you ever prayed that God would give you a desire to obey him? I just want to encourage you, step out into that prayer. It's rooted in the scriptures. Lord, give me a desire to obey you. I'm tired of trying harder. I'm tired of failing every time I do. I need a desire to obey you. And then it says, he'll give us the power to please them, to please him. Dunamis, Greek, it's a word from which we get dynamite. It's this incredible power. It's power beyond anything we've ever known. It's power beyond anything we could imagine. That power is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wished you cared more? You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you ever watched a commercial or something and it was kind of designed to get at your heartstrings and it just didn't really work? Have you ever saw something and you thought, man, I need to be more concerned about it. I just wish I was. Have you ever felt that God was sort of pinging you to do something and you just didn't get her done? I think we've all experienced that at some point in our life. We need to pray that God would give us the power to please him. Lord, would you give me a desire to obey you and the power to please you? Why don't we just pray that right now? Would you just bow your heads with me? Almighty God, would you give us a desire to obey you, a desire to be in your word, a desire to worship with our Christian brothers and sisters, a desire to pray and to share our hearts with you, a desire to serve, a desire to witness, a desire to give. Lord, would you give us a desire to be obedient disciples of Jesus Christ? And would you give us the power by your Holy Spirit to be pleasing to you? Forgive us, dear God, that we keep trying harder, and we invite you to transform us. In Jesus' strong name, we pray. Amen. Word number four, don't cause trouble. Verse 14, don't complain or argue, for they are distractions. Do any of you ever have your life sometimes interrupted by drama? You know, drama surrounds us. And I'm going to be real honest as to why. There's good money in drama. There's just good money in drama. Drama is a commodity. And there's just good money in it. So it's always going to be swirling about us because people are pouring into it. What it's saying is don't complain or argue. Don't get caught up in those cycles. Don't get caught up in that. I'm on Twitter. I don't understand Twitter as well as I do Facebook. Facebook is like happy graduation, and then everybody else doesn't really fit in. Twitter is like, let's argue for a really, really long time, and I don't care that you graduated. And I don't quite understand Twitter quite as well, but I am on Twitter, and sometimes I'll read these theological posts, and these Christians start arguing with each other, and it gets uglier and uglier and uglier. And to be honest with you, they're arguing about things. If I was in a classic debate and I could only use the Bible, you could put me on either side of that argument and I'd do just fine. That's why there are arguments, because they're supportable both ways. I would do just fine on either side. But these Christians get so caught up because they get caught up in the spirit of this world, which is win the argument and humiliate your enemies. And I'll read this stuff and I'll think, how's God possibly going to be glorified by this? And if I wasn't a believer and I read this and I thought this was Christianity, who wants that? Just turn on the cable news. I mean, if you just want to always be swirling in drama, you got to be kidding me. Church, we've got to offer this world a different witness. That witness does not involve compromising our values and compromising who we are, but it does involve choosing not to live in drama. So don't complain. Don't argue. The Greek word translated complain doesn't mean to gripe and whine. So some of you are going, whew. What it means is to stir up trouble. Stir up trouble for the purpose of stirring up trouble. The Greek word translated argue is not to debate for the purpose of learning. It is heckling for the purpose of disruption. And Paul is not talking to the larger culture. That's one of the big mistakes people make today. When they read the New Testament, they think these rules and regulations are for the society at large. These rules and regulations are for the church. He's saying within the church, don't complain or argue, for they are distractions. They distract us away from our mission of connecting people to Jesus Christ. And Paul's telling the people in the Philippian church that would rather argue and complain than obey God. Cut it out. Cut it out. Word number five, get countercultural. Verse 15, rather, rather, what's that mean? Instead of what? Complaining and arguing. Instead of living in drama, here's a better way to live. Rather, live pure and innocent lives in this dark world and let your light shine brightly. One of the things I love about living out in the country, I love nighttime. There's a point at which day sort of gives way to evening, and the sky is trying to make up its mind what it wants to do as if it weren't already settled since the beginning of time. And I always sit outside and I look up and I think in about 30 minutes those stars are gonna pop. In about 30 minutes the day will completely give away and there will be no more light shining in that way from the sun. And the sky is gonna turn this incredible color of black, and the stars are gonna pop. And it's like God took a billion diamonds and just threw them across a black velvet infinity. We kind of live in a hole. We're in a woods, and then we kind of have an open space where our cabin is. And of all the crazy things, the only constellation I can see every night is the Big Dipper. It's just right there. And I look at it, we'll sit sometimes and have a cup of coffee of an evening. And I just look and I think, God, how glorious you are. I get caught up with the psalmist. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Rather, instead of complaining and argue, live pure and innocent lives. Why? Because you will be the stars that brightly shine in a dark world. You say, Reverend Shane, the world is just so far from where God wants it to be. My friends, the world has always been a long way from where God wants it to be. But we are called, to quote Jesus, to be salt and light. Salt and light. The church must be a countercultural community. And I think we are increasingly a countercultural community. For if we embrace the values and morality and lifestyles of this godless culture, we're gonna have nothing to offer the world. Our stars are not gonna shine. And all we'll be is another club, another organization, another charity. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but I am saying if we get to the point that's the only vision we have for the church, we have lost our light here. The more godly, loving, and giving that we live our lives, the more of God's light we will reflect to the world, and the darker the world gets, the brighter our light will shine. To quote John Winthrop from the Mayflower Compact, I want to be a city on a hill. I want to be a city on a hill that's lit up. I want our light to shine here at Christ Church. I want us to shine in biblical truth, absolutely, but I want us to shine in Christ-like love. Get countercultural. Number six, and finally, pour yourself out. Pour yourself out. Verse 17 and 18. Even if I am poured out for you, I will rejoice, and you should rejoice with me. Paul's speaking about his death. He has a trial coming up. He does not know if he's going to be found guilty or innocent. He's going to be found guilty. And he says, even if my life is poured out, I will rejoice. And if my life is poured out, you should rejoice with me. A libation offering, a drink offering, was one of the most common forms of ancient worship. And it was not just in Judaism or Christianity, it was just a common form of ancient worship in a gazillion ancient religions. The idea was pretty simple. You took a cup of wine and you poured it out before the deity. Everybody in Paul's world would have been able to know what that was. And Paul says, even if I am like the wine and I am poured out for you, I'm being poured out to complete the good work that God has begun in Philippi. Christ Church, we must be willing to be poured out to complete the good work that Christ has begun at Christ Church, that Christ has begun at our CM campus, our Millstadt campus, our Scott campus, our online community. We must be willing to be poured out. Paul concludes his thoughts with rejoice. He doesn't rejoice because he's certain that the trial is going to go his way. It doesn't. He rejoices because though he may not always have a tight grip on God, he knows God always has a tight grip on him. He rejoices because he knows even though the Philippian church may not have a tight grip on God, God has a tight grip on them. My hope for the future of Christ Church is not that we have such a great grip on God. I believe God has a great grip on us, and God's got the best hands you could possibly imagine. Christ Church, we are firmly in the grip of God. So let's get back to our basics, fundamentals of the game, and let me share some vision with you. Our mission, we exist to connect people with Jesus Christ. Say it with me. We exist to connect people with Jesus Christ. That's all we do here. Let's take a look at our core values. Just go ahead and read these with me as they come up. We will effectively connect people with Jesus Christ. We will stand unwavering in biblical truth. We will maintain a winsome spirit of Christ-like love. We will embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be committed to authentic Christian community. We will celebrate a ministry of remembering, and we will move into the future with joyful optimism. That last point, that seventh point, is what I want to talk about today. Moving into the future with joyful optimism. Let me share some vision with you from your church leadership team. We've got four tasks that we see in front of us at this stage in the life of our church. Number one is to assess our post-COVID reality. I think we all know the world has changed since COVID. And what we have found here is that some things that we were doing before COVID have rebooted. We're right back where we were. Some things we're not really sure if they're gonna reboot or not. They're sort of like a weed eater that's sputtering. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm not sure it's not gonna catch, but we're not sure it is either. But there's other things that simply have not rebooted at all. We're running half or even a fraction of what we did before. So one of the things we've been doing over the past 6 months is just assessing our post-COVID reality. Where are we right now? Number two, we need to reallocate strategic resources. If I'm going to use a biblical metaphor, we need to prune. First thing I want to tell you is you don't prune dead things. If you have a dead Christmas tree in your house and you are going to use it for Christmas, you don't prune it. You spray paint it. We're not spray painting this church because our vision for this church is that we will be stronger and stronger as the years go on. There are times of the year when Melissa prunes her landscaping. And you know what? At first, it looks like this. And when she's done, it looks like that. But pretty soon, it looks like that. We need to prune. We need to discontinue not fruitful enough things, and we need to invest in fruitful or potentially fruitful things. We're gonna make some changes. We're gonna announce some of the major changes in the next couple of weeks after I share the news with those who are gonna be most directly affected, but we will have some shifts in some of the things that we do here. We are not shutting things down for the purpose of shutting them down. We are shutting some things down to strategically reallocate our resources. The time, effort, and energy that we're putting into this, that has not and will not recover, we are gonna shift that and we're gonna put it into things that are thriving and moving and dreams we have for the future. Businesses that don't do that go out of business. Churches that don't do that will not long be in ministry. We are gonna fuel what is hot and shift resources. Number three, we're gonna expand our online community. COVID opened the online world to us in new ways, and we boldly stepped into the vacuum. It was really miraculous. This would be several years ago, 2019. Our ad council back then, we kind of felt a ping that we should hire someone on our staff to make film for us, to help us with recording and streaming, to be able to make videos. We couldn't afford it at the time. And frankly, I wasn't sure we needed it at the time. We prayed about it. We talked about it in ad council. And as they often do, they moved forward in vision because they felt God was in it. My friends, not everything God's in makes sense to us at the time. But if we hear God, then he will show that we were right in the future. So we hire Tim Drury. Tim comes in, begins working with us on our filming, begins working with us. We had Christmas Eve that year. We felt God saying to us, hey, let's not put a gazillion dollars of extra resources into our Christmas Eve spectacular. Let's invest in new cameras. Let's invest in new equipment. And let's raise up our online ministries. You know what? We just felt God leading us to do that. So we did it. We did Christmas Eve. I took a pilgrimage to Israel. I got back. And does anyone remember what hit? COVID. And all of a sudden, our church was shut down to live worship for a period of time, and all we had were our online ministries, and we could not have been better prepared had we known it was coming. That's how God works. That's how God works. What we have found since we reopened, and we've been reopened for a long time now, what we found since we reopened is that the church is filled back up. On Sunday mornings, we have filled back up, but we've really not lost our online viewership either. Last Sunday morning at 8 o'clock church, there was a couple sat right back there, introduced themselves to me. They are no doubt worshiping with us today, live near Wichita, Kansas, found us during the pandemic, and are part of our every week online faith community, and they just wanted to come over and go to church live one time here with us. I rejoice in how God has used something that really destroyed and shut a lot of churches down, but because we listened to God, because we made bold moves that didn't even make sense at the time, we found ourselves in position to not only regrow our church back toward our strongest year we've ever had, but we found ourselves able to retain an incredible online community. I've asked Reverend Mike to head up this online community. His wife, Valerie, really felt a ping, got this thing going as a volunteer. And finally, it got so big and got to be so much work. She said, I need to turn this over. So Mike came in and we had a discussion. We can't go backwards. We got to go forwards. And so we've talked and we've prayed. And Mike is heading up a response to just growing this online community. How do you turn the fire hose of the internet into a warm community? We're doing a pretty good job at it. And we're gonna do an even better job at it. And we need to realize that when we worship here together, there are other people worshiping with us at Christ Church all over this country and all over this world. And that is a thing only God could do. Number four, I talked to you about this in my State of the Church address in January. I wanna give you a little bit more information and a rationale. Sanctuary infrastructure and remodel. You know, it's hard to believe that this facility is now 15 years old. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Some of the big ticket items like the sound system, the speakers, the automatic blinds for the big windows, the massive air conditioner units are well beyond their shelf life. They've been going out off and on for some time, and we've somewhat MacGyvered them. Chewing gum, Gorilla tape, that kind of thing. We also need to repaint, deal with some of our pews that are ripped and worn, replace the tiling below, and stained and faded carpet. In fact, for Easter, we were going to move a couple of things up here, and then we looked, and the carpet underneath is not even close to the same color as the carpet outside, so we just moved them right back. It made no sense to address these issues before our disaffiliation because, frankly, we were unsure as to whether or not we would be able to stay in the building. So we let some things go, and we patched up others. But now, praise God, this building is all ours. This building is all ours. We are here, and we are here indefinitely. And we've had a year to catch our breath, but it's time to get moving on this. As your trustees begin to consider the necessary infrastructure items in consultation with the worship team, it became clear that a full renovation of this worship space would better allow us to connect people with Jesus Christ in the present and, just as importantly, in the future. 15 years ago, we built this sanctuary for the future. And those of us that were here then sacrificed then that we may become the church we are now. And now the trustees came back, the worship team came back and said, would you consider the possibility that God is asking us to sacrifice now for the kind of church we will be 15 years ago? We have to do the infrastructure stuff. The remodel is going to better enable us to connect people with Jesus in the context of worship and in our online community. We easily could have done them in separate projects. But if we did them in separate projects, it would probably cost us twice what it would cost to do them all at once. We know interest rates aren't going to go down anytime soon. And if we're going to do this, we need to do it now. Now, much has changed here in 15 years. We built this $8 million sanctuary. And when we built it, we had both traditional and contemporary worship services. The stage area was completely clear and completely static. It just didn't change from week to week. We didn't even imagine the kind of dynamic worship experiences that we now offer on Christmas Eve or Passion Sunday. We never imagined the huge role that live streaming would play in our present. Today, we don't do multiple styles of worship. We do one style of worship, and one half of our weekly attendance is online. We appropriately built this sanctuary for how we did things then. And we began to pray about whether or not we needed to renovate for how we do things now. And we began to pray about whether or not we should anticipate how we will do things in the future. So we got a recommendation as a leadership team, and we began to pray. And we began to ask lots of questions over a period of months. And after weighing all options, considering our debt load, leveraging an incredibly strong financial position that we enjoy right now, your trustees unanimously recommended, and your church leadership council unanimously approved, a $2.5 million infrastructure and renovation project. Now, some things like the sound system have already been purchased out of that, but the bulk of things will happen sometime next year, probably in the spring or in the fall. We will be out of here for a few weeks while they renovate, so we're gonna have a tent revival. I think we're just gonna get a great big tent out in the field and just have a few weeks of tent revival. We hope to raise $1 million outside the budget before we start the project. You'll be hearing lots more in the months to come. Anytime we talk about the future, my tenure always comes up because people look at me and they think, boy, is he not getting any younger? And honestly, it's a fair question. Before I surrendered my orders to the United Methodist Church late last spring, I signed a 10-year contract to remain the senior pastor of Christ Church through June of 2031. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going nowhere. Not only that, in my heart, I feel like I'm doing the best ministry of my life. I've got some Holy Ghost rattling in my bones, and I don't think I've lost a thing off my fastball. When it does come time to retire, and someday I will, Melissa and I will walk off into the country with our rescue dogs and never be seen again. But when it does come time to retire, be assured, I intend to leave this church laser-focused on our mission, strategically aligned, absolutely, undeniably effective in ministry, excellently staffed, financially sound, and fully poised to keep connecting Jesus until he returns. So I want to say thank you. It's been 25 years for me. I'll be starting 26. What a joy. What a joy. This is by no means the biggest project we've ever tackled. It is it. But after much prayer, and I mean months of prayer, I believe this is where God is leading us to go. So I want to say thank you to all of our charter members, to everyone who's joined the new Christ Church. And I'm just going to ask you real quickly to stand up because I'd like to pray a prayer blessing on you. Would all of our members of the new Christ Church please stand up so I can just pray a blessing on you? Almighty God, thank you for our new members. Thank you for those who stepped out in faith and became charter members of this congregation. And even as they have been blessings, I pray that they would be blessed, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, bless them in every way. Bless their lives, bless their health, bless their emotions. I pray, dear God, you'd bless their vocations and their finances. I pray, dear God, that they would walk in your favor and in your blessing all the days of their lives. And we want to thank you, dear God, for all you've done and all you're doing. And we thank you that you are not done with us yet. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys may be seated. We wanted to do some kind of little gift to give everybody today. I thought of several things, including live camels, but what we really came up with was these great stickers. They are the new logo. They say Christ Church. What's really cool about them, they're not static stickers like we've had in the past that come off. They're also not the kind of stickers that if you try to take them off, you can't get them off. They stay on your car or on your fridge or on whatever you put them on. And when it's time to take them off, they actually peel off and stay together. I was driving 2 weeks ago. A car was in front of me and they had one of our Christchurch magnets on the back of their trunk. And I thought, this is so cool. So I thought, let's do something like that. So we've got some free Christchurch stickers. I've got mine right on the back windshield of my car, right above that red light. It looks fantastic. And it's just a way of witnessing. It's a way of letting people know where we go to church. Might even facilitate some conversations. So you can pick that up at the Sync Center free or in the bookstore for free. Pick two or three up, as many as you'll use, but I'm looking forward to seeing these around town. Finally, if God is calling you to be a part of this faith community and you've not joined Christ Church yet, immediately after worship services today, Reverend Carmen is going to be right down here, and she would love to lead you in your membership vows, and you can make that step today. At Christ Church, we want to make it easy for people to become part of the community. But once you become part of the community, then it's all about accountability. And it's all about being everything God has called us to be. And so if you feel called to be a part, an official part of this church community, if you look at our future and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of leaving a legacy for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. If this is that moment for you, come on up. We would love to receive you into membership. We've got some beautiful crosses from Bethlehem. We'd just like to give with you to remind you of the commitment that you've made on this day as you uphold this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Would our communion stewards please come forward? Almighty God, we pray your blessing upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be Christ's body in this world, redeemed by his blood. Forgive us of our sin, Almighty God, and free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen. We've got regular elements. We also have gluten-free elements at both sides of the table. If you would prefer a sealed pack, you can do that on both sides of the table as well. Jesus has done all of the heavy lifting. He simply now invites us to his table. Would you come as the ushers bring you forward?